Well, I want to take just a few moments tonight and use a little PowerPoint in order to direct our attention to something to help us toward the new year. If you have your Bible with you this evening, I'm going to be looking at a couple of verses in the Old Testament book of 1 Chronicles and from the 17th chapter. And I'll just ask the men if you would bring the PowerPoint up. This is a picture that most of you have seen before, but I'll just remind you of what this is. This is from one of our most recent church history tours, not this last one, but the one previous to that. And this is in Olney, England. And when we hear the word Olney, with whom in church history do we associate that town? You name, there are two figures in particular. Can you name one? Okay, John Newton, and who's the other one? William Cooper. Newton pastored in this community, and the building that you're looking at is the home that was provided for him as a Church of England minister in Olney. Now, it may have been somewhat expanded since his day. I'm not quite sure. But those are some of our folks standing out front of it. And when we went on that occasion, it was the first time that we had any opportunity of actually entering that building. It's a private residence, but the lady that we had with us, Mary Lynn Rouse, who really is the world's foremost authority on John Newton, had met us there, and she'd obtained permission from the elderly man who lived there for us to visit. And the primary thing that we wanted to do was to be able to go upstairs into Newton's study. And if you see up there the window that's open on the second floor, that's where his study was. And when you arrive there, this is just a portion of it. It's really not a large room at all. That's probably about a third of the room right there. But what you have over the top of the mantle are verses that he had lettered to remind him of what the Lord had delivered him from. And I don't know whether you can read from that distance, but the top one is from the book of Isaiah. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable. And the second of these texts from Deuteronomy, thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. And when Newton first was placed in that ministry, it was at the recommendation and the provision of a gentleman who was referred to as Lord Dartmouth. And Dartmouth helped provide money to have, we would call it a parsonage, or a vicarage is what they call it, or a rectory. And Dartmouth provided money to have it nicely renovated for Newton. Newton took the liberty to include in what he did in the renovations to pay for someone to letter those two verses and to frame them. And he wrote a letter to Dartmouth and said that he trusted that Dartmouth would not be offended at his taking the liberty for that little extra expense, because he always wanted to remember what God had done in his life to bring him from his background as a slave trader and finally coming to Christ, and now actually after so many, many years being in the ministry. So what I want to show you next is the view out of the window that was cracked open there. And you know what? No, I'm sorry. I'm getting this wrong. The Newton study is one floor above that window that's opened. It's up there where the dormers are. So if you look at the one on the far right, this was the view outside that window. And you can see the church steeple across the way. And that was the church that Newton was the pastor of there in Olney. And many of you may know the story that as he came to the end of a year, the year was 1772, that he began to reflect on the passage that we're going to look at in just a moment. And his diary ending on this day, December 31st, in 1772, was this. He was looking back at the years from 1756, when he had finally completely gotten out of the slave trade, to now 1772. In between, he'd been a tide surveyor. How many scenes I've passed through in that time. By what a way the Lord has led me. What wonders he's shown me. My book is now nearly full. What he's referring to is his journal. And this is the second of three volumes of his journals that remain. This one is in the Firestone Library in Princeton. A number of years ago, I took a couple of days. I was up in the area preaching, and so I took a couple of extra days, stayed there at Princeton, and I spent a whole day with these two journals, including this one, just reading in them, because they've never been fully transcribed for anyone to be able to read. It was just a very heartwarming and inspirational time. And he'd come to the end of this second volume. It's nearly full. I'll provide another for the next year. O Lord, accept my praise for all that is past. Enable me to trust thee for all that is to come. And give a blessing to all who may read these records of thy goodness and my own vileness. And that's what I was reading in those journals. Amen and amen. Well, what Newton preached on the next day, which was the Lord's Day, his New Year's message was based on this passage. Let's read it together. 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verses 16 and 17. Then David went in and sat before the Lord and said, "Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me thus far? This was a small thing in your eyes, O God, but you have spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come, and have regarded me according to the standard of a man of high degree, O Lord God." And as Newton reflected on that text, he began to think in terms of looking at the past, as David is doing in verse 16, "Who am I? What's my house that you brought me thus far?" And then verse 17, "Now, Lord, you've spoken of me and my lineage for a great while to come." And so he wrote a piece of poetry, and later on, in 1779, it was published in the first edition of Olney Hymns under the title Faith's Review, verse 16, and Expectation, verse 17. And of course, we know of it today by the first two words, Amazing Grace. The context here is God's giving David a covenant. To David, the covenant was unconditional. To David's son and sons, it was conditional. And as things worked out, Solomon, who followed David, did not in the end meet the conditions. So when you look at the genealogies in Matthew and in Luke, the genealogies of the Messiah, our Lord is actually not the physical descendant of Solomon. Joseph adopted Jesus into that royal line. It's recorded in Matthew 1. But Luke chapter 3 informs us of the physical lineage and that it came through one of David's other sons who never reigned on the throne, named Nathan. Solomon and his descendants are simply not the physical ancestors of the Messiah. And in the Davidic covenant, the Lord speaks of that. It's a wonderful thing when David responds to this. And I want to call your attention to just one part of his response that we haven't looked at in verses 16 and right on down through. And that is where David says, verse 19, Lord, for your servant's sake, and according to your own heart, you've wrought all this greatness to make known all these great things. O Lord, there is none like you, nor is there any God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. Now drop to verse 23. Now, O Lord, let the word that you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house be established forever, and do as you have spoken. Many, many years ago, I went in to ask for some counsel from our former pastor, Mr. Jesse Boyd. This was before his homegoing in the early 1990s. There was a certain situation I was asking him about, and it had some complication to it as far as it ever taking place. And Pastor Boyd, I said, so, Pastor, what should I do? And he was thoughtful for a moment, and then he said, well, and he called me Pastor. He said, Pastor, you just need to pray and say to the Lord, and now, Lord, do as you have said. Because there was scriptural principle behind the whole issue, where I had to depend on the word of the Lord, as it was in Scripture. And Pastor, you just need to pray to the Lord and say to him, and now, Lord, do as you have said. And he was basing it, of course, on this language here. It's great counsel. Over the years, there have been a few times when I've given that same counsel to someone who was in a similar situation that I found myself in. But I primarily called our attention to this tonight because I want to take us forward just a little bit and move us into the year that lies in front of us. Amazing Grace is the way in which we know this piece of poetry. And I would suppose, in fact, secular sources say that this is the most well-known of all Christian songs sung worldwide. Who knows now by how many hundreds of millions of people. There was a tract that had on its front a beautiful color picture of a ship on the sea, 18th century sailing vessel. And it was titled by this, and that used to be my favorite tract to hand out. And I would say to people, and I had done this in other countries, sometimes England sitting on a subway and pulling this out of my pocket or on an airplane and holding it up and showing it to people and saying, that's a song. Have you ever heard of that song? I hardly ever had anybody say no. Almost everyone that I ever showed that title to said yes. And then, of course, I would just go into telling them about what the background of the writing of that was. My point is, very, very well known, and we've always sung it. We've sung it to this title. We've not sung it to the title, Faith's Review and Expectation. But what I want to do tonight is hold up that title to us. Think back on your life. David can think back to his being the youngest of seven sons and being the son, the youngest to whom the flock was committed. And God takes him from following the sheep and makes him king over his people, enters into an unconditional covenant with him that in the end the Messiah is going to come from his loins. Well, what about my life and you? Where did you come from? What was your background before the Lord worked in your life? How did you get here? What's it look like if you review? And let's fast forward it up just to 2025. If you look back over 2025, what's that look like? Well, there probably are some of us here, and we could say, actually, again, in terms of a pretty well-known stanza of a hymn, I feel like in 2025 I've been carried on flowery beds of ease. While others who showed up on our prayer request sheet were tested by many, many trials or fought through bloody seas, as that stanza goes on. Okay, but what has 2025 been like for you in review? At our Thanksgiving praise service, we had many, many people, what I think nearly 40 people, stand up and tell us about 2025. Well, what about, folks, what about in expectation? What about going into 2026? Well, I want to put up here the words of another of those stanzas. I think we could all say, looking back even on 2025, through many dangers, toils, and snares. If you think in terms of a danger, think perhaps of the, just to use one example, think of the number of times that you've almost had a car accident in 2025. Yesterday, visited Dr. Steve Hankins in intensive care in Greenville Memorial. And many of you may be aware, how many of you ever had Dr. Hankins for a class? Did you lift your hand? Okay. Long, long-term Bible teacher at Bob Jones University, dean of the seminary, administrator. And Saturday, he and his oldest son, Stephen, are going to breakfast at the other son's house in Simpsonville. They come to a curve. His son hits the brake, and he has a dolly in the back of the vehicle piled on some blankets because he'd been helping people move furniture. The dolly shoots forward, hits his son in the back of the head, and knocks him out. Car goes off the road, slams into a cedar tree. So Dr. Hankin's son has broken ribs and two broken wrists. Dr. Hankins has two broken ankles, two broken femurs at the hips, a broken spine, broken ribs, a broken wrist, and a brain bleed. On Saturday, 7 hours of surgery on his back. And yesterday, he goes in for surgery at 9 o'clock, the day before, that's Monday, 9 o'clock in the morning, gets out at 6 o'clock in the evening, with their working upon on his femurs and on his wrists. And I go in to see him yesterday. He's completely immobilized, just a broken man. All swollen. Okay. How many of you just escaped perhaps numerous car accidents in 2025? I mean, how many times, this happened to me twice yesterday, how many times have you been driving and somebody comes roaring up behind you and they're impatient because you are essentially keeping the speed limit? As soon as they get a chance, they gun their motor to let you know they're upset with you, go roaring around the left of you, and then they cut in front of you, just right in front of your bumper to let you know, they're going to teach you a little lesson. That happened to me twice yesterday. How many times have you been in danger in 2025? And then think of the toils. And then think of the snares. Think of the many, many things, traps laid for us by the devil through many dangers, toils, and snares. I have already come. And if we were carried through the toils, if we were spared the danger, if we escaped the snares, it's grace. Newton writes, this is grace. It's grace that's brought me safe thus far. And in expectation, what will grace do? In expectation, grace will what? Grace will bring me home. And I want to just suggest a little project for us in addition to what we talked about this Lord's Day. Pastor Newton challenged us this Lord's Day evening about the matter of meditation. And we began in the morning our memorization of Proverbs 3, 5 through 12. So that's our theme passage for the year. All right, we don't want to just memorize that. We want to meditate. And he explained to us that that meditation is on the way to right applications. All right, we do that. And as we're doing that, we can enfold this as well. It occurred to me that we would all do well to either take one wide piece of paper or to take three pieces of paper and have three columns or three pieces of paper with one column each. And at the top of the one, just put dangers. And at the top of the next one, put toils. And the top of the next one, put snares. Tuck them away in the back of our Bible or in our journal if we're journalists, whatever it is. And just kind of keep a little mental wheel running as we go into this new year so we can kind of get in the habit of staying alert to times that God, it's really apparent to me, God protected me today. And just, you don't have to take a lot of attention with it, but you can just jot down a line or a word or two that in the future will remind you God spared you that particular danger. Or here was a week that I was just almost pressed beyond my strength. Instead of my, whatever it was, my normal 40-hour work week, I ended up putting in 70 hours this week. Okay, put it down. February 2nd through the 9th or whatever it was, toils. God took me through that. Snares that you are aware that God protected you from. And go through the year, and what might we have when this year comes to an end and we do a faith's review of dangers, toils, and snares in 2026? And folks, what would be the point? Why would we even bother doing a project like that? I mean, it would be interesting. It'd help us remember. But that isn't the primary purpose for our doing something like that. What would be the primary purpose? So that we what? So that we do exactly what Newton was doing when he wrote this hymn, so we would be in a position to really remember the works of the Lord on our behalf and to thank the Lord from a fullness of grateful hearts. Lord, it's been by your grace that I've lived 2026 and that I'm in a position to rejoice in all that you've done for me. So let's read it again. 1 Chronicles chapter 17, 16 to 17. David the king went in and sat before the Lord and said, Newton took this and personalized it. Who am I, O Lord God? What is my house that you've brought me thus far? And this was a small thing in your eyes, O God, but you have spoken of your servant's house for a great while to come and have regarded me according to the standard of a man of high degree, O Lord God. He's looking back at God's promise to him. We're looking back at many, many promises to us. And may the Lord help us to really be alert in this new year.